was kissing Wyatt. Chapter 16. I dropped the keys I'd been holding, and they clattered onto the wood floor. Bree jumped and broke away from Wyatt, her eyes widening when she saw me. "Andy," she said, blinking at me. What are you doing here?" "I was bringing the cat back from the vet," I said, saying these words because they still belonged to a universe that I understood, with logic that I could follow. I stared at them, wondering if there was any way I could have misunderstood, trying to come up with some other explanation for what I'd just seen. But Wyatt's hand was still tangled in Bree's hair, and her cheeks were flushed, and Wyatt's shirt was on inside out. There was no pretending that she'd been giving him emergency mouth-to-mouth or anything other than what this was. Wyatt was looking from me to Bree, like he was trying to figure out what happened next. "Right," Bree said, taking a step away from Wyatt and smoothing her own shirt down, like she was trying to regain some of her composure. "I guess I just thought... I didn't realize you would be the one bringing her back." "Last-minute thing," I said, and Bree nodded and then looked down, and I wondered if she'd just felt what I had, that I'd reached my limit of talking about things other than the elephant in the room.
"So I think I'll head out," Wyatt said to Bree, after the awkward silence had stretched to the breaking point, and I watched them have a fierce, silent conversation that ended with Bree glancing at me and nodding. Wyatt leaned forward and was clearly about to kiss her, but stopped at the last moment, looked at me, then pulled back and gave Bree an awkward half-hug, pat-on-the-head combo. Wyatt hurried past me like he was fleeing the scene of the crime, slamming the door behind him as he went. I looked at Bree, who wouldn't meet my eye, just turned and started walking up the stairs again, her steps heavy. "Come on," she said over her shoulder. "We should talk."
"You think?" I asked as I followed her up the stairs to her room.
"I know," Bree said, looking down at her hands, which were twisting together. "I know, Andy."
"But," I said, trying to get my head around this, "what is even going on? I mean..." I looked at her, wanting her to jump in, somehow explain things so that I could understand them. "How did it happen?"
Bree let out a long breath and looked up at me. "The night of the scavenger hunt," she finally said, and I felt my jaw drop open.
"Wait," I said, shaking my head. I had been ready to hear that this had been a one or two time thing that she now realized was a huge mistake.
"The scavenger hunt was weeks ago. You guys have been... this whole time?"
Bree nodded and pressed her lips together hard.
"Did it happen when Wyatt's car broke down?"
Bree just gave me a look, and much too late, the penny dropped. "His car never broke down," I said, feeling like an idiot for not putting this together sooner.
"No," Bree said, her voice quiet. "We were starting to do the list when he told me how he felt, and I hadn't wanted to admit it, but I'd been feeling the same way, too." I closed my eyes for a second, still trying to get this to be a reality that I could deal with. That Bree and Wyatt had been together, in secret, for half the summer.
"Oh my God," I said, sinking down to the floor, feeling like my legs were not really up for holding me at that moment. My eyes strayed over to her bed. It was messy, the sheets rumpled, and I knew for a fact that Bree made her bed, hospital corners and all, every morning.
"Are you sleeping with him?"
Bree just looked at me.
I could see the answer clearly written across her face. Bree! I suddenly thought of the day on Palmer's roof, how quiet she'd been when we were talking about guys and bases. Keeping this secret from all of us. Keeping it from Toby. What about Toby? I asked, feeling like this just kept getting worse. Bree shook her head and let out a short laugh, the kind with no humor in it whatsoever. Right, she said, and I could hear her voice was tight and higher, the way it was when she was getting emotional and didn't want to show it. Because, of course, this is about Toby. I just looked at her. Well, it's always about Toby! Bree yelled this, her voice reverberating in the room. That's not true. Isn't it? She asked, her voice still raised. You found out I'm sleeping with Wyatt, and your first thought was about Toby, not me. I don't get a morning at the diner where we all get to talk about it. I don't even get to be with him in public because of Toby, because we need to protect her. Bree brushed her hand across her face. Nobody ever cares about making things easier for me. It's always about Toby. It's like I can't even see myself sometimes when I'm with her, and I just... Her voice trailed off, and she sat down on the bed, pulling her knees up underneath her. I pushed myself off the floor and walked over to sit next to Bree on the bed. Okay, I said, hearing the question in my voice. I felt like I was so without a plan, and so beyond anything we'd ever experienced that I had no idea what to do from here, how we should proceed. My first automatic thought was that it should be Toby here, doing this, before I realized how crazy that was. So tell me about it. Bree gave a trembly smile as she looked at her hands. He's... She looked up at me. You know, he's the first thing I've had that's mine. Just mine. In like a decade. And it's good. She took a shaky breath. It's great. He's so different when you really get to know him. He's actually really funny. And he's got such a good heart. And he gets me, she said, more quietly now. He sees me. I make him laugh and... Her smile got wider. We just work. I'm glad for you, I said. I am, I added quickly when she shot me a look. And I was. I was thrilled that Bree had fallen for someone she really liked. But there was almost no way to separate this from who it was she had fallen for. It's just... I knew I didn't have to say it. The underside, the shadow of everything Bree was saying, was that Toby was out there, not knowing any of this. I never wanted to hurt her, Andy. That's the last thing I wanted. I know that, I said, my voice quiet. But... Bree pushed herself off the bed and paced over to the window. They never even dated. It's not like he's her ex or anything. She has this crazy crush on him, but Wyatt told her that he's not interested. And still, she has this claim on him. And at some point... Her voice faded out, and she bit her lip. What? I asked, keeping my voice soft. Thinking back to Clark, in the car, in the rain. At some point, she said, then took a big breath. It was like I was putting my happiness on hold for something that only existed in Toby's head. She stared at me with something like horror. Oh, God. I have to tell her the truth, don't I? I let out a long breath. Well... Sitting between us, the elephant in the room, was that this had been a secret, that the only reason I knew
The only reason we were having this conversation was because I'd caught them. That this might have been a different conversation if she'd told Toby before anything had happened with Wyatt. But now... I played this through to the end, and it hit me. Just what this meant, really, for all of us. Because there was no way we got out of this as a group still okay. Even if Bree and Wyatt came clean now, I didn't see Toby getting over this anytime soon. If she found out by accident, it would be the same thing, but probably worse. There was no way out of this. Unless Toby never found out. I pushed myself up to standing and walked over to the couch in Bree's room, the one that was parallel to the bed, and felt something inside of me click back into place. Peter's words from this morning were echoing in my head. We had to shape this narrative and figure out a plan while we still could. This was still fixable. It had to be fixable. The four of us had to be okay. My friends had been the one thing I could always count on. And with everything else beginning to spin out of my control, I needed us to stay together. My dad might have a foot out the door, but I wasn't about to let us fall apart. "Bree," I said, leaning forward, "tell me how you see that playing out. You telling Toby you've been sneaking around all summer and lying to her." Bree's chin trembled slightly as she pulled at a thread on her comforter. She started, then shook her head. "Exactly," I said, not looking away from Bree. "So, what if she doesn't need to know? What if she doesn't have to go through all that?" Bree blinked at me. "Andy? Who does it benefit for her to find out?" I asked, making my voice as calm and reasonable as possible. "You've been keeping this a secret all summer. What's a few more weeks?" "What do you mean?" Bree asked, though the expression on her face told me she knew exactly what I meant. "I mean..." I hesitated, then made myself say it. "Have you guys talked about what is going to happen when Wyatt leaves?" "No," she said, and I could hear her start to get defensive. "Have you and Clark?" I swallowed hard. "No," I admitted, feeling my heart clench, the way it always did when I had to think about this. "But," I said, trying to focus on Bree as I told myself that ours wasn't even close to the same situation. "Do you think that this is, like, a long-term thing?" I winced even as I said it, and braced myself for her to throw the same question back at me, one about Clark, that I couldn't come close to answering. Bree looked down at the floor, and I could see her lip was trembling, and I felt horrible for putting her through this. I told myself firmly that this was for the best, not only for Bree, but for all of us. "I don't know," she finally said in a half whisper. "That's okay," I said, sitting down next to her. "And it's understandable. You guys are still figuring it out. But since you're not totally sure it's going to be a long-term thing..." I let my sentence trail off, hoping that Bree would fill in the blanks. "What if Toby finds out that we were both keeping this from her?" Bree finally asked, looking up at me. "And Palmer, too. How do you see that playing out?" "I think it's better than the alternative," I finally said. "Don't you?" I held my breath while I watched Bree struggle with this. She had to be able to see it. Because the four of us, together, was everything. And we had to stay that way. We had to do what we had to make it happen. "Okay," Bree finally said, nodding once. "It's for the best," I said, feeling relief flood through me. "For all of us." "You're sure about this?"
she said, not exactly phrasing it like a question. I nodded, quashing any small voices of doubt that were trying to tell me that I was doing this all wrong and that there was more going on here than just Bree and Wyatt. This was the only way we were going to make it out of this unscathed. And so I nodded and looked Bree right in the eye. I am. Bree nodded, and I felt a weight start to lift off my shoulders. It was all going to be okay. I had the same feeling as when you duck at the very last second and miss something you would have walked right into, realizing just how close you came to danger. And then the relief that followed when you realized you were safe, that everything was going to be fine.
What do you think?
Clark asked as he swung his car into the parking lot of the boxcar cantina.
I thought it might be nice. Kind of romantic.
He adjusted his glasses, and I saw how nervous he was about his surprise. It's great, I said, leaning across the car and giving him a quick kiss. We hadn't been back here since the night of our first date, and I liked that we were going back now, when everything between us was different. On the cusp of another first. I started to get out of the car, but Clark practically ran around to my side and opened the door for me. Thanks, I said, stepping down and taking the hand he offered me. Clark closed my car door and then slid his arms around me.
Hi, he said, pulling me close.
Hi, I said back. He leaned down and kissed me, and I kissed him back until we were pressed up against the side of the car, both of us breathing hard, and my pulse was galloping in my throat. Do we really have to have dinner? I asked, and Clark laughed. But I was only partially kidding. There was a piece of me that wanted to tell him we should skip it, just get back in the car and head straight back to his place. So, he said as he took my hand in his and we walked up to the restaurant.
How was your day?
Oh, I said, feeling myself start to come back down to reality as I thought about the day, starting with Peter showing up in our kitchen and ending with walking in on Bree and Wyatt. I didn't want to tell Clark that everything was fine. He'd be able to see through me anyway. I just didn't want to have to think about these other things tonight. Tonight was about us. I'd been looking forward to it for weeks, and nothing was going to wreck it. Well, I started, just as we reached the hostess podium, and took my opportunity to avoid answering the question. While Clark gave her his name, I felt my phone buzz in my purse and pulled it out. Toby. Milky Way! Exclamation point! Baseball! Exclamation point! Kiss! Couple with heart! Spark! Spark! Fireworks! Fireworks! Palmer. Yes! Tonight's the night! Toby. Camera! Video camera! Smiling girl! Palmer. I think Toby wants a picture of what you're wearing. Me too. I smiled as I read these. Then sent one of the pictures I'd taken when I was getting ready, mostly because I'd had a feeling this conversation would happen. I was wearing one of my favorite dresses, and the fanciest underwear I'd ever owned. Bree and I had bought it together last week, and it hadn't even occurred to me then to wonder why she was also getting some for herself. Palmer, you look amazing. Toby. 100, 100, 100. Cheering girl, cheering girl. Thumbs up. Me. Thanks, you guys. Palmer. We can meet up at the diner and discuss tomorrow over waffles. Keep tradition alive and all. Toby. Finger pointing up, thumbs up. I felt my smile fade as I looked at the screen. For a moment, I wished I was back where Palmer and Toby were, not knowing any of this, not knowing that Bree had gone through her first time without telling any of us, without talking to us about it, without doing the diner recap. And the thought of that just made me sad. Not just for Bree, but for all of us. Me.
Right! Totally. Talk to you guys later.
Andy?
I looked up to see Clark standing by the hostess with menus tucked under her arm, and I dropped my phone in my bag as I hurried to join them. We were seated at a table just one over from where we'd been on our first date, and I had a feeling that Clark had done something to arrange it.
So, where was your dad tonight?
Clark asked as I glanced at the menu and then set it aside, knowing I would get the exact same thing I'd gotten before.
He wasn't lying in wait and telling me that he knows people who know people. Is he feeling okay?
Clark clearly meant this as a joke, and I gave him a small smile.
He's good, actually, I said, making my voice much more upbeat than I was currently feeling.
I didn't really want to go into it, telling Clark how it had felt seeing Peter standing in our kitchen, seeing my dad slip back into his old mode like it was nothing, like our summer hadn't even happened. If I told Clark about it, it became the truth in a way I wasn't sure I wanted. Not tonight. So I smiled at him brightly across the table.
It turns out that he's going to get cleared of any wrongdoing. So he should be back to running for re-election in the fall. Everything back to normal soon.
I took a sip of my Diet Coke, needing to avoid Clark's eye and the way he always seemed to be able to read me.
But I thought he wasn't going to run again. I thought he told you that.
Well, it seems like he changed his mind.
I'm sorry, Andy,
he said, his voice low and soft. He leaned toward me, and I felt myself, without meaning to, draw slightly back.
It's fine. It's what was probably always going to happen, right?
Clark just looked at me for a long moment, his brow furrowing.
Are you okay?
He asked softly.
You seem...
What? I asked, not meeting his eye as I folded up the top of my straw wrapper.
I don't know, he said after a long moment.
The waitress came and took our order. Clark got his reaperito again, and when she'd left and the menus had been cleared away, Clark looked at me across the table, his eyes searching mine.
Anyway, I said, looking around for the chips. That's what happened to me today. How was your day? What did you do?
I was trying to get back to where I'd been just a few minutes ago, but I could hear that my voice wasn't quite right. It was a little shrill, and I was talking faster than usual.
It was okay, Clark said. I worked this afternoon and then, got things ready for tonight.
He smiled at me, and I looked down at the table and wished more than anything that I was back in that same place with him.
Neat,
I said, my voice coming out too high.
Awesome.
Andy.
Clark leaned across the table and took one of my hands in both of his.
If you're nervous about tonight, it's okay, and...
No, I said, wishing I could shake this off once and for all. It wasn't Clark's fault my day had gotten so totally derailed.
I'm not. I mean... A little bit, but it's not that.
Then what is it?
I looked at him and realized that while I knew I didn't have to tell him about Bree and Wyatt, I wanted to. I didn't want to keep something that big from him. And maybe if I talked about it, the thoughts that had been swirling around in my head ever since I left Bree's house would settle down a little and I could enjoy what was supposed to be one of the most important nights of my life.
Okay, I said, letting out a breath. But you can't tell anyone, all right? Of course,
Clark said easily.
I mean it, I said, not breaking eye contact with him.
Yes,
Clark said, his tone growing more serious, clearly picking up on how I was feeling.
What's going on?
I took a breath and started to tell him. By the time I was through, our chips had finally arrived, but neither one of us had touched them yet.
"Geez," Clark said when I'd finished, letting out a low whistle.
I winced. "I know."
This can't end well, right?
"Well," I said, letting go of his hands. Bree and Wyatt have been keeping it together all summer, so if they can get through this until he goes back to school, they'll be fine. That's what I told her to do, actually.
"Wait, what?"
"It just makes sense," I said, breaking a chip in half, not even because I really wanted it, but because I wanted to have something to do with my hands.
"Why were you telling her to do anything?"
Clark asked, sounding mostly baffled.
"Because it was going to wreck everything," I said, hearing myself get defensive. "And it was the logical thing to do."
Clark just looked at me.
"So is Bree just going to keep this secret from Toby forever? Are you?
Do you really think they're going to be able to make a long-distance thing work?"
I asked, knowing full well that I wasn't just talking about Bree and Wyatt.
"Especially since they haven't even talked about it."
The sentence seemed to hang between us for a second, and I pressed my nails into my palms, not even sure what I wanted him to say.
"Yeah,"
he finally replied. He cleared his throat and looked down at the table.
I guess it's a complicated situation."
I nodded, trying not to let the disappointment I was feeling show on my face. What had I wanted Clark to say? That we were different? That we'd find a way to make it work? That he'd at least thought about this like I had? I took a long drink of my soda, wishing more than anything that we'd just left when I'd wanted to in the parking lot. It suddenly felt like Clark was getting farther away from me across the table, like there was a gulf between us, even though he hadn't actually moved.
"Well," I said, giving him a tight smile, "it was the only thing to be done. If you'd been there, you would have understood."
"Okay,"
Clark said, and silence fell between us once again. I looked across the table at him and tried to imagine the rest of the night playing out. Suddenly, all our plans, all Clark's preparation, my fancy underwear, none of it felt right anymore. This wasn't how I wanted the night to kick off. I couldn't even imagine recapping this in the diner in the morning, that we had been awkward and snipping at each other over dinner, not saying what we really meant. None of it was going the way I'd wanted it to. And it wasn't fair to do this to Clark, since he had just been yanked into this.
"Clark," I said, swallowing hard, "about tonight, I think maybe it's not the best night for it."
I looked up at him, and he nodded.
"Yeah,"
he said, and while I could hear disappointment in his voice, he didn't sound surprised.
"I think maybe another night would be better."
"But soon," I said.
"Yes, absolutely soon,"
he said immediately, and I laughed. Our food arrived, and when Clark started eating his burrito, the kitchen staff gathering to watch again, I sent a text to my friends, telling them that our plans had changed, there was no need for waffles, and I'd talk to them tomorrow. By the time we were done with dinner, things were feeling better. Not like the evening could still be salvaged, but somewhat back to normal. We were feeling like us again, at least.
"But I am worried about you,"
Clark said, once the plates were cleared. He reached across the table and squeezed my hand.
"How are you doing with all of this?"
For a moment, I thought about telling him how I was really feeling. Like things were spinning out of my control, and all I knew to do was to hold on as hard as I could and try to keep everything together. But the moment passed, and I just gave him a smile, even though I was pretty sure he would see through it.
Of course, I said. I'm fine.
Me.
Hey, running a few late to pick up Bert. Be there soon.
Clark.
That's fine. Whenever.
Me.
What?
Clark.
So I have to tell you something.
Me.
What is it?
Clark.
I told Tom about Bree and Wyatt.
Me.
What? Clark!
Clark.
You were acting so strange about the whole thing. Not like yourself at all, and I didn't know if you were okay. I just wanted his take on it. But it's okay. He promised not to tell.
Me.
You really think he's going to be able to keep this from Palmer?
Clark.
Maybe.
Me.
I don't. Wait, hold on, he just texted.
Tom.
Andy, what the hell?
Me.
I know.
Tom.
I mean.
Me.
I know.
Tom.
You know I have to tell Palmer.
Me.
No. Tom, seriously, you cannot.
Clark.
What's he saying?
Me.
Oh, just that he has to tell Palmer.
Clark.
But he promised he wouldn't.
Me.
He hasn't yet, but it seems likely.
Clark.
I'll talk to him.
Tom.
Hello?
Me.
Sorry, Clark's mad at you.
Tom.
What did I do? I didn't even want to know any of this. And now I'm keeping secrets from my girlfriend?
Me.
How do you think I feel?
You can't tell her.
Tom, seriously, it's bad enough you and Clark know.
Tom.
What's that supposed to mean?
Palmer.
Hey, what's going on?
Me.
Nothing. Why? What do you mean?
Palmer.
What?
Me.
Did you talk to Tom?
Palmer.
About what?
Me.
Nothing. Just checking.
Palmer.
Want to see a movie later?
Me.
Maybe. Can I let you know?
Clark.
Okay, now Tom's mad at me.
Me.
But is he going to keep it secret?
Clark.
He says he can.
Me.
He also said he could do a British accent. You didn't have to sit through the production of My Fair Lady like the rest of us.
Toby.
Hand-waving.
Me.
Hi, what's going on? Anything happening? Anything you want to share?
Toby.
Thumbs down. Volcano, Milky Way, shooting star. Sleeping face, sleeping face, sleeping face.
Me.
You're bored at work?
Toby.
Applause, applause.
Me.
That's great.
Toby.
Question mark, confounded face.
Me.
No, I just meant that it's good it's not something more serious, that's all.
Palmer.
Movie? Bree thinks she can get us in free, and that it's not just a ploy to get us to hang out with her this time.
Me.
Want me to see if Clark can come?
Palmer.
I don't know. I was thinking maybe just us. I feel like I haven't seen Bree lately.
Me.
She's probably just busy. With her job.
Clark.
Tom might be mad at you now.
Me.
I know that.
Clark.
No, about something else. Sorry.
Tom.
Oh, so now I can't act either? You said you liked my Henry Higgins.
Me.
I did.
Tom.
Sure.
Me.
Clark!
Clark.
I'm sorry, I needed an example.
Me.
Stop telling Tom everything!
Palmer.
Movie?
Me.
Sure, fine, sounds good. And let's not ask the guys. I'm currently mad at Clark.
Palmer.
What'd he do?
Me. Nothing. He just...
Palmer. What?
Me.
He won't tell me what his new book is about.
Palmer.
I'll get Tom to find out. I bet he can.
Me.
I'm beginning to agree with you.
Toby.
Movie camera, movie camera, movie camera. Exclamation point. Grinning face.
Me.
Popcorn.
Awesome, you're in?
Toby.
Thumbs up. Popcorn. Smiling face, smiling face.
Palmer.
Okay, I'll see you tonight.
I have to go talk my boyfriend off the ledge. Suddenly he's worried about his British accent?
Me.
Actors. Weird, right?
Clark.
Can I see you tonight?
Me.
Seeing a movie with the girls.
Tomorrow?
Clark.
It's a plan. And I am sorry about telling Tom. I just needed to get some perspective.
Me.
I get it. I'll see you tomorrow.
XX.
So, do you guys have an arrangement with management or something?
Toby asked as she leaned across the glass case in the lobby of the Palace movie theater, looking down at the candy.
That the only movies you can get us into for free are the bad ones?
I didn't think it was that bad, Palmer said from the other side of the lobby as she looked at one of the coming attraction posters.
I liked the dog. I don't think that's the best indication of a movie's quality, I said, looking around from my spot behind the counter next to Bree. We were the last ones there. After the show ended, Bree had swept up, and we'd helped by pointing out where she needed to sweep. All the moviegoers had gone, and after Craig the projectionist exchanged an awkward greeting with Toby, their date had not been a success. We had our run of the place. I looked at Bree doing her last checks of the theater, locking the front door so nobody would wander in and making sure everything was turned off. I was impressed that she was hiding her secret so well. But maybe she'd gotten used to it over the last month, or we just hadn't been paying attention. But as I looked around at all of us hanging out, Palmer and Toby none the wiser to what was going on in our midst, I began to really feel like this might be okay. That we'd get through this. Wyatt and Bree would fade out and nobody needed to get unnecessarily hurt in the process.
What do you guys want to do now?
Palmer asked, heading over to me and Toby while Bree did actual work, taking inventory of the popcorn kernels and condiments.
Diner? Or we could go to the orchard.
Orchard, Bree and Toby said in unison.
Oh, Palmer said, looking crestfallen.
But if you want food, P, just get something to go, I suggested.
Palmer pointed at me.
I knew there was a reason we keep you around, she said, pulling out her phone and taking a few steps away.
Order me French fries, Toby yelled after her, then turned to me.
Think she heard me?
I think she heard you, I said, laughing. I just don't know if she listened to you.
Okay, Bree said, setting her clipboard down.
Done.
Can we leave? I asked over Toby, who, rather than walking up to Palmer, was just yelling, French fries! At increasingly louder levels.
Almost, Bree said. I just have to make sure that everyone's out of the bathrooms and that they're not a complete disaster.
How long? I asked, taking out my phone.
I'll see if Clark wants to meet us at the orchard.
We should be good to leave in 10, Bree said, picking up her phone to check the time, then leaving it on the counter as she headed for the bathroom. And tell Toby I want in on her fries.
I started to text Clark as Toby reached into her bag for her own phone, then sighed as she looked at the screen. "My phone's dead," she said, dropping it back in her purse. "Why is your phone always dead?" I asked, shaking my head at her. "Give me yours," Toby said, grabbing for it, and I held it out of her reach. "Wait a sec," I said. "I'm texting Clark." Toby rolled her eyes at me and then reached for Breeze. "Because you never talk to Clark," she said, already scrolling through Breeze apps. "Okay," Palmer said, coming back to join us. "Food'll be ready in 10. "Did you get my French fries?" Toby asked. "Did you want French fries?" Palmer asked, sounding extra confused. "Why didn't you say something?" "Palmer!" Toby said, then looked up to see Palmer's expression. "Oh," she said, smiling. "Gotcha. I just..." Bree's phone dinged with a text update just as I finished writing my text to Clark. "Oh, Wyatt texted," Toby said, squinting at the screen. And I looked up at her and felt my stomach plunge. "Maybe you shouldn't see that," I said, quickly reaching for Bree's phone. But Toby took a step away, still reading, her brow furrowing. "Tobes, just use mine," I said, desperately trying to get in front of this, holding my phone out to her. Toby said, and now I could see that she was scrolling up, reading Bree's text messages, her hand shaking and her eyes filling with tears. "I don't understand what..." "What are you talking about?" Palmer asked, looking at me as my pulse started going double time. This was happening. It was happening right now. And there was absolutely nothing I could do to stop it. "Done!" Bree said triumphantly, emerging from the bathroom, smiling at us. It faltered, then faded when she saw Toby. "What's going on?" she asked, and I saw her eyes dart from her phone to Toby's face and then to mine. I gave my head a tiny shake. "Why is Wyatt texting you?" Toby asked. Her voice was trembling. "Why is he telling you that he misses you, and it's been too long, and he needs to see you tonight?" "Wait, what?" Palmer asked, her jaw dropping open. She looked at Bree. "Is this a joke?" Bree said, looking at me, then back to Toby. "Okay, so..."
"You've been hooking up with Wyatt?"
Toby asked, her voice rising.
"My Wyatt?"
"He's not yours," Bree said softly. And I closed my eyes for a moment, wishing that we'd talked about how to handle this if Toby found out. How had we not had a contingency plan in place?
"What?"
Toby asked, looking like she'd just been punched in the stomach. "He's not yours," Bree said, and I could see she was blinking fast, the way she always did when she was starting to cry but was trying to fight it. "You guys made out once. It's not like you two were even together."
"Seriously?"
Toby asked, shaking her head. "You're seriously saying that?"
"Okay," Palmer said, looking at me, clearly wanting backup.
"Here's the thing," I said, in my most soothing voice, taking a step forward. "I think we all just need to take a breath and focus here.
If there was nothing wrong with what you were doing with Wyatt, why didn't you tell me?"
Toby asked, still gripping Bree's phone.
"Why keep it a secret?"
"Because I knew you'd do this," Bree said, her voice breaking. "I knew you wouldn't get it."
"So you've just been lying," Toby said,
and I could tell that she was still struggling on some level to understand what was happening.
"You've been lying to all of us,
all summer.
It was for the best, Bree said a little desperately, shooting a look my way.
And it was for all of us, for our friendship.
She looked at me again, like she was waiting for me to jump in and fix this.
Andy, tell her!
Toby whipped around to face me. You knew about this?
I only just found out, I said. But you kept this from me?
Toby asked, her voice breaking.
You lied to me?
And me, Palmer said, shaking her head. How could you do that?
I was just, I started. It was the only thing that made sense. There was no reason for Toby to get hurt if it could be avoided.
Oh, my God, Palmer said, shaking her head in disgust. Don't try to spin this, Andy. Are you kidding me?
That was not your call to make,
Toby yelled at me, her face getting red.
I just wanted us to stay friends, I yelled back,
and Toby let out a short, mocking laugh.
Well, that worked out really well, didn't it?
Toby, I started, looking around at the group, at all the people who were currently furious at me, willing myself to think fast enough to figure out how to fix this.
You were supposed to be my best friend, Toby said to Bree.
And I could see that she was crying now, too. Tears she tried to wipe away with angry swipes across her face.
I am, Bree said, looking up at Toby, her voice anguished.
Toby shook her head and dropped Bree's phone on the counter.
No,
she said quietly, sounding shattered.
You're not.
She walked across the lobby, yanking the glass door open and then pausing once she got outside, looking around for a moment before turning right and walking toward the parking lot. Her shoulders hunched. Bree looked down at her phone on the counter, then swallowed hard as she picked it up and put it in her back pocket.
You guys should probably go, she said, her voice cracking.
Bree, Palmer said, but Bree was already talking over her.
Really? I just want to be alone, okay?
Palmer and I looked at each other, and I knew we were both weighing the same thing, trying to decide if she really meant it, what we should do in this totally uncharted territory.
Please,
Bree said before either of us could come to a decision.
Please, just go.
Palmer gave me a tiny nod, and I took a step toward Bree, not sure what I was even going to say, but feeling like I couldn't just leave like this, without a word. But Bree crossed her arms tightly over her chest and looked down, giving me every indication that she meant what she said, that she wanted to be alone. Palmer walked toward the door first, and I followed. Still a little unable to believe that this had happened, was still happening, right now. It was like a slow-motion car accident that nobody was doing anything to stop. I followed Palmer out the door, out of the air-conditioned theater and into the hot, humid night, the cicadas sounding even louder than usual somehow. Toby was my ride, Palmer said, and I nodded. I'll drive you. It felt like we were trapped in a bad play, neither one of us saying what we really wanted. We started to walk to the parking lot, and I looked back one more time to see Bree, looking lost in the empty theater, her hands over her eyes, her shoulders shaking. I made myself look away, and Palmer and I walked to my car, not speaking to each other while she canceled her diner order. And I texted Clark to let him know about the change of plans. I unlocked the car and Palmer got in, slamming her door hard and then turning to face the window. I looked over at her as I started the car, practically feeling the anger and resentment coming off her in waves. We didn't say a single word on the way back to Stanwich Woods,
Every time I'd take a breath to say something, I didn't even know what, Palmer would turn away from me more in her seat, until she was totally facing the window and all I could see was her back. When I went through the gatehouse, Jamie barely looking up from his novel to wave me in, Palmer said, "You know, Tom's been acting really weird." Normally, I would have made a joke here, asking her, "How can you tell?" or something along those lines, but I knew this was not the moment for that. "He has?" "Yes, like he's been hiding something." She turned to face me. "He knows, doesn't he? You told Clark and he told Tom." I nodded, swallowing hard. I was almost to Palmer's house, and even though the street was deserted, I put on my blinker to turn into her driveway. "But, so not only were you keeping a secret from me, you were making my boyfriend lie to me." "I had to tell someone," I said. "I was doing the best thing I could think of to keep us together, and I just wanted to know." But she was already unbuckling her seatbelt, shaking her head as she got out of the car. She slammed the door hard and walked fast across her driveway, not once looking back at me. When I got home, my dad wasn't waiting up to talk to me. I could see the light was on in his study, but I didn't make a move to walk down the hall. What could he possibly do in this situation? And I didn't want to tell him about what had happened, because even if he had advice that was helpful, I couldn't let myself get used to it, because who knew if he'd be here the next time I needed him? I shut the door to my room behind me and leaned back against it for just a moment. I pulled out my phone, hoping against hope that there would be a text chain going, everyone admitting that they were sorry and that we could all move past this. But there was nothing. I started to send a message, then stopped when I realized I had no idea what I would say. I selected just Toby's name and started to write, trying not to see the last time we'd texted when she'd been excited about the movie. "Me. Toby, I'm so sorry. Are you okay? I'm worried." I looked down at the screen, waiting, hoping she would respond. After a full minute, I set my phone down on my nightstand and started to get ready for bed, even though it was only a little after 10. I felt like I was moving underwater as I brushed my teeth and washed my face, then turned off my light and got into bed. I'd just rolled over onto my side when my phone dinged with a text message. "Toby, broken heart." I waited to see if there would be more, but nothing else followed. I didn't know what I was supposed to say to that, had no idea how I was going to make any of this right, or if that was even possible. I looked at my phone, glowing in the darkness of my room, for a long moment. Then I turned it off. Tamsin looked across the shadows of the dungeon at the old man who always sat huddled against the stone, the one whose voice was like the rattling of bones, the one who hadn't seen sunlight in 15 years. He'd asked her to describe the sun when she'd first been thrown in here, which she had thought was ridiculous. Who could forget what it looked like when light dappled across leaves in the forest? She could recall them so easily, the early morning light, so cool and blue and not yet warm, the way sunsets in Castleroy seemed to linger, putting on their best show before disappearing for the night. But now, though it had been only 3 months, she was beginning to understand better. She'd forgotten about warmth. Forgotten that once she'd been lucky and free and able to raise her face to the sunlight, closing her eyes and breathing in the day. Once, she never could have imagined herself in a place like this. Now, she was having trouble remembering that she'd ever been anywhere else. "The Elder is dead," she said out loud for the first time. As soon as she said it, she knew it was true. He would have come for her if he hadn't been. He would have done something. She would not have still been in here if he could have prevented it.
"I'm all alone."
The old man in the corner turned to face her, moving inch by inch until she could see his face, the whites of his eyes gleaming in the light of the flickering torches.
"We're always all alone," he said,
his voice cracked and worn. Tamsin shook her head. She knew that wasn't true. She had years of proof to the contrary.
"No," she said.
"Not always. Not even often."
"Oh,"
the old man said, with a sigh that seemed to come from the depths of his being.
"I forget you're still young yet."
He coughed then, a dry, rattling sound.
"Sometimes we get a little bit of a facade. We think we have people, family, friends. But in the end, it's just you and the darkness. Everyone leaves eventually, my young friend. It's better, really, to learn it early. This way you can save yourself some disappointment."
He sighed then, and slumped back against the wall once more.
"Because believing you're not alone is the cruelest trick of all."
C.B. McAllister. The Drawing of the Two. Hightower and Jax, New York. Chapter 17. I stood in the back of the Stanwich Community Theater, clutching my iced latte and a blended Java chip drink for Palmer. I'd been at Flask's, getting my usual, when I'd found myself blurting out Palmer's order as well. I decided, there in the coffee shop, that I'd bring it over to her as a kind of a peace offering, and hope she'd forgive me, so that we could start to sort this out. Because the longer my phone stayed silent, the longer there was no communication on our group text, the more worried I was getting. Toby and Bree were both equally stubborn, and I didn't want to know what would happen if more than a few days of this standoff went on. I was afraid that at some point this would just become our reality. This had to change, and I knew I couldn't do it without Palmer, especially since Toby wasn't mad at her, as far as I knew. But now, standing at the very back of the theater, looking at Palmer sitting at her stage manager's table, her bright hair glowing in the dimness of the room, I was starting to get nervous about my plan. I ran my thumb over the condensation on my cup as I walked down the aisle to the row where her table was set up, telling myself not to be ridiculous. This was Palmer. I shouldn't be nervous about talking to Palmer. But that didn't change the fact that I was. I hesitated at the end of her row, shifting my weight from foot to foot, waiting for her to notice I was there. But her eyes were fixed on the stage, where Tom was being yelled at by the actress playing Camp Director Arnold. I walked down the row, hesitating for a second before taking a seat next to her and placing her drink in front of her. "Hi," I whispered.
"Ready, follow spot 47?
Palmer said, but under her breath, like she was saying it to herself.
47, go."
She looked over at me, then turned to face the stage again. "Palmer," I said, leaning forward so that I would be in her line of vision. "Come on."
"Ready, sound 48,
she said, half under her breath, her eyes moving between the stage and the marked-up script in front of her, making tiny check marks with a pencil.
48, go."
"Hold!"
The bearded director stood up and started making his way to the stage,
shaking his head as Tom and the actress moved downstage to talk to him. Palmer looked over at me, then sighed and put her pencil down.
I can't really talk, she said. I'm practicing calling the show.
She looked at the drink in front of her